On True Crime Today, a camel bites a Minnesota zoo worker, drags him 15 feet by the head before biting another employee. A decapitated body found dumped by the side of the road is the third headless murder victim found in 1 month in the same city. And a heartbreaking moment, a sheriff had to be held back as his 10-year-old daughter was killed in the Uvalde school shooting. He realized it while in the hall. Those stories and more today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Say he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, hey.
How's everything?
Well, after hearing this story about the camel, I'm really going to have to cancel a couple orders, I think, because we were thinking of doing a little camel parking back, but...
Obviously, now is not a good time.
These guys look like they could be a little dangerous.
Well, and then the first story about the camel attacking the person, and then that second story that you just teased, I was like, maybe it's a camel issue.
I think that we need to take a closer look at camels in society because they seem to have another motive. And if we let them conspire against us, we could be in for a deep, deep troubled state, a deeply troubled state. If the camels conspire enough, I think they pose an even bigger threat to us than Russia or any of our social distractions. Camels, folks, are what we need to be thinking about. I'm Glenn Beck.
Maybe we could at least all get on the same page. We're anti-camels.
Yeah.
Then there'd be the pro-camel. I'd probably end up being pro-camel because I like animals and, you know, everybody's got to take a side these days. Speaking of that, taking a side. So I'm going to say, I don't care where you fall politically. I think this is I'm getting ready to share a story. I think this is a shitty thing to do.
Okay.
And so I don't care. So I'm going to just call him the shittiest person in the week. Even though he did it's the shittiest person of like a couple months. Because I can't seem to land on a name, so they just change all the time.
Yep.
So this is the shittiest person of a couple months ago. Let's say that. I'm going to see if I can find exactly when.
Okay.
It doesn't say. But anyway, so this guy, he's a Trump supporter. But like I said, he could have been a Biden supporter. Flip
okay.
it around.
Nothing to do with what the motives or what his affiliation is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So a Trump supporter falsely claimed his garage was burned by left-wing extremists and a $300,000 insurance scam attempt, a federal prosecutor said. So he lives in Minnesota, set his own garage on fire after scrawling it with graffiti of an anarchy symbol, BLM, Black Lives Matter, but just said BLM, and Biden 2020. This was during the last presidential election campaign. So he was the shittiest person of like the year before last.
Yeah.
One of them, according to an indictment. So he was trying to defraud insurers by claiming he had been politically targeted. And then his story gained widespread sympathetic media coverage as he described discovering that his home had been attacked. So what he's doing is going out and lying about everything and then outraging people. Yeah. Like these damn extremists, these liberal extremists. And like I said, it could have gone the other way.
Yeah. Well, it's like what's basically what cable news is. I mean, that's all it is. To whatever side you want to pick. It's just let's all drink out of the same fountain. And if you like this flavor, there's a flavor there for you. If you like that flavor, that's your flavor. And let's just all get angry together. And then nobody really presents a full story. So you get the other side of a story. Let's just all get angry on one side. Mm-hmm. And then we're all wondering why we're all mad at each other because nobody talks to each other. And we all think we're right.
So this guy, he'd been flying a Trump 2020 flag at his property. He told CBS. And then he told the police that the attack was politically motivated and referred to it as a hate crime in his insurance claim. Then he said, quote, for them to see me express my beliefs as a Republican, it's crazy to think it came down to this. But he started it all himself. He spray painted. He did all of it just to get money.
So
what he did was he made people really mad at each other.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
and on top of that, he also raised $17,000 in donations from two GoFundMe fundraisers.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's just shitty.
And it's anyone who's like getting really, you know, big and really waving whatever flag of whatever thing you want to say it is to like some extreme level to where the house is burning down and there's all these misfortunes. You got to take a little closer look sometimes because it's not always, things are not always what they're cracked up to be.
Like Laura Ingraham on Fox. Mm-hmm. She even interviewed him and she said, quote, "This is a message being sent by the far left. And I think people are beginning to see that arsonist behavior, looting, even murder. None of it is off the table." Okay, there was no murder. Like, why'd she throw that in there?
Yeah.
But yeah, so then she gets a hold of it. She makes it even a bigger deal. And none of it's true. That's the stuff that just pisses me off.
How did they catch him? How did they catch him? How did they figure out that he did it?
I'm assuming the insurance investigated it because they didn't want to pay out the money.
Sure.
How
deep does insurance go to investigate something like that? To like that almost like would be, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to sort
of made multiple insurance claims.
Okay.
Totaling $300,000. The company rejected some, but paid out $61,000.
Okay.
So maybe they kind of started investigating him. I'm looking back to see if it says, but they might have started investigating him for the insurance. And then when they realized he also had GoFundMe pages.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
Lovely people trying to scam each other and get everybody mad at one another. And you're making
insurance is one thing.
Making the whole thing up.
Mad at each other. I know.
There's enough reasons that people are getting mad at each other. We don't need individuals to create more things that don't even exist. It's like, what the fuck? We are in a, yeah, it's
let's talk about camels.
Twilight Zone. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. It's our time officially for Camel Talk. A Minnesota zoo worker is recovering after a camel bit him on the head. Just before 3 p.m. on Wednesday, the Stearns County Sheriff's Office responded to a call of an animal bite at Hemker Park and Zoo, which is located in the small town of Freeport near St. Cloud. Upon arriving at the scene, deputies learned that the victim, identified as Roger Beltner, was escorting a camel through the alleyway to prepare it for transport to another facility. According to a news release from the Stearns County Sheriff's Office, during the process, the camel placed Beltner's head into its mouth, biting down on his head. The camel then dragged Beltner by the head approximately 15 feet. God.
That hurt.
Oh, this is like a Final Destination type shit. The second employee, identified as Seth Wixon, stepped in to intervene by placing a plastic walking board into the camel's mouth to release its bite from Belkner's head. Police say after Beltner, 32, was freed from the camel's bite, he was able to stand on his own and run to safety. However, the camel had been charged, or has then charged at Wixon, 32, and bit his head. He was able to get to a safe location and his own and refused any medical treatment, according to police. People has reached out to the Stearns County Sheriff's Office for comment. Beltner was transported to the St. Cloud Hospital by LifeLink helicopter and is expected to make a full recovery. Our owner did sustain minor injuries, Hefner Park and Zoo wrote in a statement on Facebook shortly after the incident occurred. The camel was not injured during the interaction and remains in good health. We thank you for all your continued support. In a separate update posted on their Facebook page Wednesday evening, the zoo wrote, "The owner has been examined by the medical providers, and per protocol, he has been transferred. He has been alert, oriented, and able to move around with some minor injuries that are all non-life-threatening. I want to thank all the medical providers and the support and prayers from everyone. It's greatly appreciated." People reached out to Hefner Park and Zoo for additional comments. Stearns County Sheriff's Office was assisted by Melrose Ambulance and Freeport Fire Department. The incident remains under investigation. The zoo is still open to the public. When asked to comment, the camel said, "I really wanted to bite that motherfucker's head off. He'd be fucking with me too much. He'd be going down next time he's in the pen, yo." So there you go. That's
My gosh, and he's so street.
Angry street camel. That's I was kind of surprised by that. So there you go.
And you know, you wonder too, like, I think that especially maybe sometimes when you work around animals all the time and you, especially animals like that, that you expect are going to be one way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if they're transporting it, it was out of its enclosure and it could have gotten spooked.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of things could happen.
Sure.
I don't think they're as predictable as, you know.
Zoos have to
go through some pretty serious training and
I didn't know camels could do that. I guess I always just thought of them.
I think their mouths are pretty. I mean, they could open their mouth pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I always saw them at the zoos, and you'd usually like pay $5, and the kids can ride on them around a circle one time.
At the state fair, they do that every year.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're turning into these blood-sucking creatures. Maybe we're witnessing
the rest of the world.
We were witnessing a mutation in animals as well, and the animals are going to start turning on us in a more.
I think we are witnessing a mutation in people.
You think?
Kind of seems like.
Yeah, I think we are.
Everybody's angry and mean these days.
Yeah, I think we're. It's going to be called something. I don't know what, but we're entering a new phase in society.
Mm-hmm.
Another horrifying discovery, a decapitated body found dumped by the side of the road is the third headless murder victim found in 1 month in the same city. This is according to the U.S. Sun. And the decapitated body was discovered by the roadside. It's in a Mexican city. So I would guess drug cartels
that would be a good guess.
The headless bodies, that's usually like a sign of like, they're doing
camel attacks.
What if it's the fucking camels that are doing this? Everybody's like, it's the drug cartels. No, it's the fucking camel cartel.
The drug cartels are like, well, we didn't do that.
It's like Joe
they
Cool.
They blame us for everything.
Joe Cool is back and he's head of the fucking camel cartel. Officers made the chilling discovery on July 13th in Juarez, which is located around 9 miles from El Paso, Texas. Police told Border Report that the body, which was headless, was found wrapped in a blanket. The man's head had been put in a plastic bag and dumped by the roadside. Cops revealed that the man was the third headless murder victim that they had found in July. Police believe that most of the killings are drug-related. Data revealed that at least 1,200 homicides are reported in Juarez in 2018. Jesus Christ. 1,200?
You know, it's like the level of just sheer brutality and like it's like really horrific crime.
I have no desire to like visit Mexico ever. I just don't. I mean, it looks like a beautiful place, but holy shit, until they can get their shit under control. And why is this not more of an attention gathering thing for us here? They are our fucking neighbor. And crime, it's like a fucking war zone there, pretty much, run by drug cartels. Why is this not something that we look at harder or we put resources into or more resources into to help our fucking neighbor get their shit together? But we're all about doing it in places way the fuck far away. But there's right there. Like, couldn't we? I don't know. We can't get our own shit together in our own country. So why the fuck would we be able to do it anywhere else anymore? I guess is the bigger question.
And it's like, we can't focus on that. We just want them to stay there.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to leave it. I think that, you know, it's sad because, you know, I used to take those cruises every year with when I worked at the radio station.
Yeah.
And so we did it for 10 years. And about the 10th year, they were like, you know, because you would do those excursions and they're safe. But they're like, don't go like rent a motorcycle or anything on your own.
Yeah.
And I heard horror stories about people doing that. And so I would never do that. But I was kind of like, I'd heard a few stories. And then after we got back from one, I heard a story about these people had kidnapped the bus with a bunch of people from a damn cruise ship.
Yeah.
And I was like, yikes, of course you would do that. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you do that? They got money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. And you hear more, and what's scaring me more and more, because like I thought, well, you know, like if you go straight to the resorts or something, you hear more and more horror stories about that shit now too, where it's like, mm-hmm. like it's kind of being infiltrated there.
They pull up on like a in a boat or something and just start shooting at people.
I'll pass. This is interesting. The Uvalde school shooting.
I don't know if I can hear this one.
They're looking at the security camera. There's, number one, been a lot of interesting things seen on the security camera. Have you seen any of this?
I can't. I just can't. I started to look at it, and then it was just too upsetting. I know that they edited out some audio, which is good, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
The utter amount of cowardice in the videos is that's what just pisses me off. One of them even stops for fucking hand sanitizer. Not even Jesus. Kidding. One of the officers hits the hand sanitizer as they're walking through the school, and then they move backwards because they hear the gunfire, and then they sit there. Well, this news story is one of the officers that was responding realized that the classroom that was being shot up was where his daughter was in.
Oh my God.
And he's trying to rush over there, and the other officers hold him back.
It's his kid in there.
I don't know. I mean, this is just, he was off duty at the time and he ran in there, and the fellow officers held him back. And so they just kept waiting. I don't even know what to make of this or how. I just don't know. I mean, this seems like it's a very huge failure, but there should be consequences for it. I don't think this should just be a slap on the wrist or, I mean, yeah, these people are going to have to live with this guilt for the rest of their life. I guess my question, do they have the guilt? If they didn't have the gumption to go in to begin with, are they going to feel the guilt of something like this? I'm sure some will, but are we missing something in humanity? Are we missing something in people? And I don't know what the ages of all these officers were, but I do feel like there's a level of narcissism that hits a certain age range and is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And are we dealing with this selfishness that kept these officers from doing their fucking job in the most critical of times?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a police officer, but I think they were waiting for orders. I think they had to get the okay to go in.
Well, fuck that.
Given the okay.
At some point, don't you just have to say, right, fuck this, fuck your orders, I'm doing what's right?
Right, because we're right here. And I also get going up to a door when somebody's shooting at you and you have to step back. I get all that. But, you know, it seems like there's got to be some kind of...
Breach the door. Throw a flashbang in.
Yeah.
Do something. That's not going to kill the fucking kids. Look at this flashbang. Yeah, everybody's going to get fucking stunned, but you can get in there and find the fucking shooter.
Exactly.
And I don't know.
That makes no sense to me, because I'm like, I don't know what everything you have at your disposal, but there was a lot of officers there.
There's 150-some. So this... The whole good guys with a gun. Really, you had 150 of them there, armed and ready. They were law enforcement, and the good guy with the gun couldn't get the one fucking teenager with a gun. You guys are great.
While they're standing outside the door, these children are calling 911.
I know. And a
teacher bled to death during that time.
I know.
Like, if they'd have gotten in there, they could have gotten her, maybe some of those kids, they could have gotten out and they could have been saved. I don't know.
What should be done to these officers? I mean, there's probably no liability because they're on the job and they were waiting for, and they're going to argue they're waiting for orders. I would think at the minimum, you're not a police officer anymore. At the fucking bare minimum.
And I don't understand why you'd want to be. After that,
no. That
would be so horrific. And the fact that you didn't do anything and that happened, I think I would be like, I can't.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more suicides of the officers, quite honestly.
I don't want to see that.
I don't either. I don't want to see that at all, but I'm honestly surprised if you were in that situation and you look back over and over and over going, oh my God, I can't believe we just stood back and that happened. I with 150 some, I'm surprised there hasn't been some. Maybe I'm missing it. Because those usually don't get reported, but I would think you'd have a lot of that, of just extreme guilt from some people, you know, trying to deal with that.
And I do think that, you know, the police is, you know, like, it would have been nice to see somebody go rogue and go in there on his own, like in the movies or something, but I don't know. Maybe like.
Well, that is what happened eventually. That's what. Then the fucking. Then finally, a Border Patrol agent said, "Fuck you," and did it. But it was too late.
And I just don't understand all that waiting for that.
I don't know. People are cheap, and it looks very much like that again with this, like the same with the law enforcement. I get you have to have orders and such, but sometimes you have to understand when you know better than what you're waiting for, and you have to
act. And
the
guy in charge, like that, none of that makes sense.
He finally.
He's not speaking. He's not.
No. He, if I guess if anyone should face criminal charges, it would be him.
I think I could see that happening, actually.
I mean, there's got to be something of being so derelict in your duty and your job, and that led to the death of so many people. I would think that that would be some clause there where we can go after you. Because
there's just so many things that went wrong that day.
It's beyond a bad decision. It's beyond a bad decision. It's like you're a fucking idiot, and you're going to pay for it now. I'm sorry. If you shouldn't have gone into that position in the first place if you're that incompetent.
Well, hell, then they've got this new law in Arizona that you can't shoot video. I shouldn't say shoot. Excuse me. That's bad word. You can't take video of a police officer if you're within 8 feet. So I guess if you stop instead, because then you got to get his permission. But if you're back 9 feet,
mm-hmm.
I don't get the 8 feet thing, because I could go 9 feet back and zoom in. But
it basically it allows you to not. So then you can't record during a traffic stop is what that is.
Huh? So like
I would
George
still record.
Floyd, yeah. That person who shot that video would have to step even farther back and shoot it, I guess. But I'm like I've seen horrific videos of traffic stops
mm-hmm.
where the people in the car, and they should be videoing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that. I'm like, it just, that bothers me because it makes me think they can do whatever they want.
Well, the attitude never from these departments is like, shit, like, we gotta, no, you're right. We gotta get our shit together. It's always like, fuck, you caught us. We're gonna discipline them, but fuck, you caught us.
And here's the thing.
And they keep
I know
going.
Lots of police officers. I've got nothing personally against any police officer.
No.
I think their job is extremely difficult.
I think bureaucratically is the way it's being fucked up, because I think there's we know a lot of the same officers.
Well, somebody passed the law.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the police officers passed the law. Yeah. They don't get to pass the law like that. No. You know, maybe they had something to do with it.
I think there should just be more reform on this and do it publicly and do it like, look, we're cleaning house. We're going to get rid of the shit and we want to earn your trust back. And I think if more departments did things like that, it could work. But instead, mm-hmm. it's just this veil of secrecy in every single one and protecting each other. And I get it. But you know what? You've created this is like an enemy combatant situation now.
Yeah, because now you feel like if you're a black person who gets pulled over.
Yeah.
And now they've taken away your ability to video it. It makes you feel like. They can do anything.
Like, what's wrong with running the camp? Like, what does that hurt? If everybody's doing everything correctly, then there shouldn't be any issue.
Right. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. I mean, it's, yeah.
It's half the world doesn't make sense.
Something that I don't think we're going
to
see happen. And just more and more tension will grow. This is interesting. A woman discovers a terrifying secret room in the back of her apartment closet. A woman freaking out on TikTok with a secret room her family discovered in the back of her apartment closet. TikToker Sasha Jones shared the harrowing story in response to a viral prompt by another user asking, "Is there a part of your house that y'all never knew existed?" In a three-part series that has since been viewed more than 3.8 million times, Jones explained that when she was growing up, her family lived in the same apartment for 10 years, where she endured bouts of sleep paralysis, nightly tremors, and sleepwalking. Sasha said that toward the end of her family's time residing in the apartment, she went on a week-long trip to Los Angeles. When she returned home to her mother, abruptly telling her that they would be moving out in 2 weeks. After that finally move, Sasha said that her mother sat her down to explain the reason why. So my mom's sitting me down and letting me know that here's the actual reason why we're moving. There's actually an attic in our closet, and we don't know about that wasn't on the lease, she revealed. Her mom went to say that at one point, someone had seemingly been living in the attic, which had only been accessible by moving a little square on the ceiling of the apartment's walk-in closet. She said, "It's really heavy, but somebody was opening it from the top and moving it to the side." Sasha recalled her mom explaining, she said, "It's almost impossible to open from the inside. But when I sent your brother up there, he saw a bed, a dresser, and sheets, and a pair of shoes, and said everything was covered in dust, and there was a set of footprints to my room and back to bed. There was no exit footprints or nothing," she added. TikTokers were supremely freaked out by the finding. "Not me sitting in my apartment being scared now," one user wrote. "This is a legit story," said another. In the third video, Sasha explained that she and her family did not return to the apartment to further investigate. They still don't have a full answer about the rooms hidden, or about the hidden room's actual purpose. That would be interesting to find.
Yeah, hell no. Like, I would get out of there.
She said that her sleepwalking and sleep paralysis stopped after moving.
Interesting. Because to me, it's like, even if there was nothing paranormal there, there's something there. Yeah. Like, somebody would, there was a bed there, shoes there. Like, that's just creepy.
Yeah, I mean, and knowing that they, I guess it's hard to know if they were there at the same time you were, but the fact that it's there and somebody probably knows that it's there, I would be a little afraid to find out when they want to return. I can't imagine.
They will.
Yeah. I always loved little spaces and things like that, like little crawl spaces. I would always,
not me.
When I was a kid, like my aunt had one in her room. She was in high school when I was little, and I would go and play in that, and I thought that was really cool. Then I had an aunt and an uncle who had one underneath their stairs, and I would go hang out there. I always loved these little, tiny spaces. I don't know. Heck, I liked my office in Wichita because it was like basically a closet with a slide door.
It was just a closet because it even had a sliding door. Yeah. You didn't even have a regular door on it.
At one time, it was a closet. But I liked it. It was tiny. It was cozy. I had a lamp. But what's really funny is Harper likes that same sort of thing. She's constantly trying to find like the tiniest little burrows that she can go into and just bring some blankets and a pillow. And then she reads or she watches something on her phone and just chills. And she likes that feeling. I think it's very secure to her. And I think that's what it is to me too. And I don't know why. I don't know why those tiny spaces do that for me.
As long as they ain't haunted.
Yeah. I mean, I would make a very good person to sneak into someone's home and hide in their hidden attic. I would be happy there. I'd be like, I'd be really quiet. I'd just hang out there. And then when they leave for the day, I'd come down, you know, maybe make an Eggo waffle or two, watch a little Price is Right, clean up, and then put things.
Clean up somewhat. You got to leave a couple weird things like, I don't remember leaving that toaster there.
Something interesting. You know, yeah. I could get like chocolate chips and start spelling things out like on the counter with the chocolate chips.
Like Lego, my ego. That would just be cute.
It would be.
Like, don't write scary shit. Just cute, adorable little things.
Every day, it's the summer of murder.
It's the summer of swimming and having fun, but you write it out like on the, like with lipstick on the mirror. You just say really nice things and encouraging things.
That wouldn't be. It's like an Instagram reel that's a motivational one, but it's in real life.
Like all those people do. Like, there's so many women who do that. And it's like, here's this picture that, of course, I didn't just set up and with the lighting and everything. It's like, come on, ladies, you can be whatever you want to be. You just have to put your mind to it. I'm like, yeah, right. The fuck up. Who are you to tell me that? You think I haven't thought about putting my mind to it?
What's interesting to me now is
what? I just have to put my mind to it?
So many people don't even speak much anymore. Now it seems to be the trend of the same 8 or 9 kind of music clips that go to every single video. And it's just like random scenic shit or people cooking things really quickly. At least that's what I get.
I've got some friends that I'm not going to name any names, but used to be normal on Instagram. And then I think they've turned into what they want to be, an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, who are you? Like, you just act like you're somebody's life coach every day. Like, where's your life?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, see, look, I'm normal. I have coffee just like you do, but I have a really cool mug with an inspirational quote on it. Jesus Christ. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I know the inspirational quote mugs really make my day.
Mm-hmm. It makes me want to just go out and get one.
I don't do t-shirts. I don't do mugs. I don't do anything that has that sort of stuff on. Now, I see nothing wrong with sometimes seeing a little meme or something. It's like, oh, that's true. I like that. I believe in that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't do the merchandise area of it. To me, it's more just like a mental thing. It's not a commercial thing. I think it's commercial when it starts going on shit. But I mean, I get what could be more commercial than an Instagram post, though, too.
Right. So
that's that. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the True Crime Today. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We certainly could not do this without you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts, too. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to True Crime Today.
I can play that.